Thanks so much to Search Engine for that beat. That song was called Pastel Park, and you can find more of his music on streaming platforms, and that is SRCHENGN if you are looking for him. Olivia, we're back.
Yeah, we're back with another episode of Industry Unpacked, and today we have Ian Ruhala in the studio with us. For anyone that doesn't know, Ian is a singer and songwriter from Detroit, and is the frontman of the pop rock band Hala. The band has brought in over 242,000 monthly listeners on Spotify. Ian, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Yay! Hey, thanks welcome. For being here today.
Yeah, of course.
So, what's going on, dude? How are you?
I'm good.
What have you been up to?
Not much. As of recently, but yeah. Basically we were gone for like a month. We did a tour with Hello Goodbye and crossed the entire US.
Tell me about that. Awesome. What was that like?
It was crazy. It was the first time doing something that extreme for me.
What's it like to be in other states and have fans who know the words to your music? Like,
yeah, I'm that sure must that be happened. Crazy.
It's really crazy. It's it was interesting because we were opening for them. Mm-hmm. We were their support act. Mm-hmm. But still, with that being said, like every night there was a couple of people that I could pick out in the crowd that were singing the songs, and I was just like so excited about that. Like,
it's like, what the hell is going on?
I know, it's crazy. Like, it's probably seeing someone just like say your words back to you, I'd be like, oh my gosh, this is insane.
Yeah, but that it was a trip. It was crazy.
Are you good friends with those guys?
We became good friends because of it. Forrest, who is the kind of leader of that group, and mm-hmm. he writes the songs and he records the songs, and it's his project, really.
Yeah.
He, I guess, liked my stuff, and we were on a list of bands to do the tour, and they accepted us, and it was really, really special.
Yeah, and how is opening for another band different from doing your own shows?
It's not really different for me. I don't like to go into it thinking like we're opening, you know.
Right.
I want to play like we're the headliner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to play as hard as I can.
You want to give it your all and just for sure. Did you have like a favorite city that like you guys stopped at all? That was your favorite to play?
Austin, Texas was pretty cool.
Yeah.
We were just there for South By, and then like a month after we were there on this tour. And that place was crazy. That was the first sold-out show of the tour.
Wow.
That
was
no
like
way.
That was like date 3 or 4 into the tour, and that was the first sold-out show I had ever been a part of. So it was like kind of nerve-wracking for me.
Yeah.
But we played, I thought, exceptionally well.
Awesome.
And then afterwards, getting off the stage, I tripped down the stairs.
That would literally be me.
Like with my cases in my hand, I was like so excited, and then I just tripped in front of everybody.
That would literally be me, and I like wouldn't get up like whatsoever. That's so funny.
I will never forget when I was probably like 8 or 9 years old. I went to see the Jonas Brothers and Demi Lovato at DTE, and it was Demi Lovato's second show ever, and she ran out on the stage and ate the floor, face down, hands up, through the microphone. So, you know, you never know. Maybe that'll get you somewhere. It'll become
it happens an online to the best phenomenon. Of us.
Yep, absolutely. You know,
even Demi, I guess.
Yeah, even Demi. Even Demi falls every now and then.
So, last week or the week before, you totally ended up opening for Lovely the Band.
Yeah, wasn't that kind of like short notice?
Yeah, yeah. That's a story right there.
Let's hear
if
it.
I can unpack it.
Yeah.
It basically
he just said the name of the podcast. Yeah. Everybody, it was really great.
But basically, so I work at a music shop in mm-hmm. Rochester, and my drummer, he works there sometimes with me, and it was the Thursday night shift, and we're just like, we had planned something for Friday, like with my other project that I'm in. We were going to do like a house show, and we were going to record it, and it was going to be fun. It was going to be something like really low key and relaxed. But then my manager, he called me and was like, are you guys free tomorrow? Like, Lovely the Band, their support act got sick and they need a new opener, which is really strange. And like, really, like, I was like, whoa, this is crazy, because in December we were supposed to play with them with the Revivalists.
Oh, no
and then
way.
The singer of the Revivalists got sick,
right.
So the show was canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, we had months of preparation, and I was like, so jacked for it. Like, I was like, this is going to be the best show ever.
Yeah.
And then, like, I wake up the morning of the show, and it's like, to a tweet, and it's like, it's been canceled. And I'm like, my dreams. Like,
yeah. I remember
playing
that.
The Masonic Temple. Like, you know, I've always wanted to do that. But,
And this show was at the Majestic.
This show was at the Majestic, which was another, you know, bucket list kind of venue for me.
Yeah, especially when you grow up here and you're going to those places all throughout.
I mean, I saw Waves, Twin Peaks, Angel Olsen there. Like, the place is a cathedral. It's huge.
For sure.
And anyways, back to the story. I basically get this call, and I'm like, then I'm like, you know, panicking. Like, I got to tell everybody, like, we got to get this together. We got to practice. We haven't practiced since we've, you know, been off of our last tour. So, like, it's been a month. And I was just in a panic.
It's like that scene from The Office where, like, Steve Carell is like, everybody calm down! Everybody calm the fuck down! Like.
It was a lot like that. But we pulled it off. We made it to the sound check and the load-in on time. And the show went... I thought it went very well. I was very satisfied, happy with it. It was very cool.
Awesome.
Nice. Yeah.
So let's kind of backtrack a little bit here. How did you get into music? How did you kind of make that jump? Yeah. Or was it like...
Was it always like a part of your life or...
It's been a part of my life basically since the day I was born. My mom also likes to say that when I was in the womb, like when she would go to my dad's cover band sets.
Nice.
And they'd play Zeppelin, like I would start kicking, which is kind of a cute story, I guess.
Yeah. So did you grow up listening to a lot of classic rock, or was it okay?
Yes. My dad, he still is in this classic rock cover band. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of like 70s rock and southern rock. He loves Skynyrd and like, you know, they're a really great band. And I kind of grew up, you know, he played guitar and I saw him playing guitar, and he plays left-handed, and I was just like, I thought that was so cool. And anytime my mom or dad would put the guitar in my hands, they would want me to play it right-handed because it, you know, it's just that much more accessible to get, you know, instruments that are right-handed.
Yeah.
And I would just say no. Just I'd like flip it over and be like him. And but he's really into 70s rock, and my mom is more into like 80s stuff. She's a big Smiths fan, The Cure, and, you know, the list goes on.
Nice. Awesome. Nice.
Cool.
So from the research I gathered on you, people like The Who and Paul McCartney are also, like, some of your big inspirations,
definitely,
too.
Yeah, definitely. If you, somewhere in the deep realms of YouTube, there's a YouTube video of me in fifth grade at the talent show covering... My Generation by The Who.
Wow.
And at the end, I do a solo and I do a knee slide.
Oh.
Whoa. Pretty cool.
Not messing around, people. Not at all. So do you think that classic rock heavily influences, like, the albums that you put out, like Spoonfed, or how do you see that kind of manifesting?
I'd say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I want to block it out, and people, you know, writing music, you know, they're like, I don't want to be into what my parents were into. I don't want to like sound like something old.
Mm.
And that's been kind of like the difficulty in it, is because it's so ingrained in me, that music, that it's like hard to not sound like it somewhat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's been kind of like what I've been battling with, like in recording and in doing it by myself. Like, I like want to bring kind of a new approach to it, and
for sure,
and still keep those the sentiment there and the, you know, the essential things that make classic rock beautiful.
So in addition to like the EPs and albums you've released, you've also released like songs like Sorry and then Found a Way. So I'm kind of curious to know, because I've been like listening to like your songs like all day. Is there like an album or song that you're like most proud of, or like that you like the most?
Not most proud of probably isn't the right word to describe it, but I look back on certain things a little more fondly than others. Spoonfed in particular, I feel really good about that, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it just was such a strange thing. It was such a strange, like, kind of documentation of my life and what was going on at the time. Mm-hmm. And I had just moved to Detroit, and, like, I was living in an attic, and I recorded the record in this attic with minimal gear, and it was very cold. Very, very cold.
That's, like, crazy.
I had to wear coats when I was doing drum tracks, and once it was all said and done, I was like, I can't believe I pulled that off in less than a month, like, recording all those songs.
And it was just you.
Yeah. That's and I had been at Central CMU, Fire Up Chips.
Yeah.
and I was writing all these songs, and I was just, you know, in my angsty stage, you know, I was growing my hair out, and I was, like, mad at the world, and I was just like, I want to write songs, I want to leave this place, I don't like going to school. So I had taken a semester off, moved to the city in order to, you know, make this record, and seeing that come full circle, kind of, like, and looking at the end product and how I got to it, I was just like, that was a journey.
Yeah. You went to Central, you said?
Yeah.
Majored in, or communications you studied, right?
I study communication studies, or whatever. Yeah. I study it now. But,
that's relatable.
I do it, yeah. Now I go to Wayne, I guess.
Wayne.
Yeah, Wayne State.
Warrior.
Yeah. I was studying journalism at the time, though, when I was at Central.
Yeah. Not happening. Mm-hmm. Well, this is kind of journalism.
Yeah.
We're doing it right now in a fun way. Okay, so this is kind of off track here a bit, but do you know who Emma Chamberlain is?
Yes.
Okay, and you know that she is blasting your music throughout the world. Have you, you know about this?
I know of this. I know of her stardom.
For anybody who doesn't know, Emma Chamberlain is a YouTuber. Mm-hmm. She has millions and millions of followers.
She's so freaking funny.
And she does these playlist videos of her in the car jamming to her favorite songs. And Hala is always in them. And she is just going at it in the car, having a full-on concert by herself. Is that something that you've seen bring an influx of traffic to?
Like, I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I guess the proof is kind of in the pudding there.
Mm-hmm.
The song... You know, I remember I was sitting in class one day and I was like looking at the Spotify streams, which is something you really shouldn't do. Like, you just like, you beat yourself up over that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just like a huge mental block when you're trying to like write and record and stuff. But that's besides the point. But I was looking at it and I was like, it's got like 500,000 streams. It's been out for like 2 years. And I'm like, I'm happy if it just stays there.
Mm-hmm,
you know, like, I feel like I accomplished something. And then, you know, like, the Emma Chamberlain thing happens.
It just kept escalating.
And it's like, the song blew up. Like, I blew up. I'm using that loosely.
Air quotes.
Yeah.
But,
but it did.
I
mean,
thank you.
You're in those Spotify playlists,
exactly.
Like that bedroom pop playlist.
Yeah. It's cool. It's very cool. But it's just interesting to look at it, you know, because the song was old when it, like, got the traction that it
And which song was it that she was?
What is Love.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
But I know of her because of my little sister.
Gotcha.
I have a 13-year-old little sister, and she's really hip to her.
the young ones, they know. They got their eyes on it.
Yeah.
Cool. So, I mean, you were talking about gaining that kind of support. So the city in general, we're in Detroit. We have tons of people who are involved in the music industry here. Do you find that you're gaining a lot of support from the local industry, or like, is it really dog eat dog, or how has that experience been for you? Just because you're kind of, I mean, more on the indie side than, I mean, Detroit is known for a lot of hip hop too. So how does that?
I think the scene is very diverse, and I think people aren't kind of like trying to pigeonhole people into a certain corner, and it's not territorial like that. And I think there's a lot of support for, you know, artists mutually, just because it's just an interesting spot geographically speaking. Like, and just thinking about how the industry, I guess, is working now, it's like, you know, we had Motown, but they up and left and went to LA, you know, like, and so many artists I feel around here are just like, you know, they feel stagnant and they are like, I gotta go to New York, I gotta go to LA.
Why do you think that is?
It's just because there's not people here, I guess, to elevate,
kind of help them and launch them.
There's not a lot of just industry folks, I guess, that are like, you know, notable labels and like, I guess, like management and things along those lines. But I there's also something I think that's quite like refreshing in that is in the fact that at the foundation and at the core, the musicians and the people here are making their art and doing it for themselves and doing it for fun.
Yeah,
and I and you know, everybody wants success in some way or another, but it's just like, it's really nice to see that the backbone of that is that people just enjoy
playing
music
because they love it. Yeah.
And there's a decent amount of collaboration between artists, or at least it seems that way. I mean, we see a lot of Detroit artists coming together on projects, especially people who are coming out of places like Assemble. They work very closely together. But yeah, definitely all does come back to the art here, which is something that I think is really valuable too, because it's not so manufactured like it is in a lot of other places. It's a bit more genuine.
Yeah. Is there like a Detroit artist or band that you're a fan of? Or that you would love to maybe like work with later on?
Plug them right now.
Yeah.
there's a lot of bands, but I love Anna Birch. Steph Chur is great.
Steph Chur is so great.
Legume. Zilched.
Yes. Steph Chur just had that huge Rolling Stone.
That whole feature. Yeah.
That was amazing.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
But she's awesome.
Yeah. She's killing it.
Hey, well, what about your creative process?
Yeah, like when you're writing music, where do you draw inspiration from?
It can be like, really from anything.
I guess.
Relationships, family, like personal things and all that.
I've been trying to like break away from like writing about love and like relationships. You know, I feel like I've done
There's
it.
Such a shortage of love songs in the world.
It's just
we
like,
need more.
It's like, you know, the song that, you know, I guess I'm notable for is What Is Love? It's a love song. Like, okay, been there, done that. Like, I want to do something a little different now.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and that record's like, it's super mellow, too. And I think it's really diverse. So it definitely makes sense why that one blew up. It's really great. It's a great record, guys. If you guys haven't heard it yet, check it out. Definitely.
I guess speaking on the diversity of just like, projects and stuff, like I really, the next stuff that I want to do, I want it to be like a mixtape that not in like the sense of like, you know, an R&B or hip hop mixtape, you know, but like something that like when I would go out on a date when I was you know, in high school, I would always bring like a CD, you know, like the mix.
Yep.
The mix.
The
and
mix.
I want it to be you know, the mix, the perfect mix was, you know, a balance of like fast songs, slower songs, you know, dynamic songs, different genres. Like I kind of want to tackle that and kind of provide something like that with the next project that I'm doing.
Sounds really cool.
With the next project, do you see yourself kind of staying with the same genre and sound that you've built, or do you plan on experimenting?
I don't think I can ever escape the genre that I'm in. Or whatever it may be.
I'm not gonna pull a Taylor Swift here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think like even if I did like say a country song.
Yeah.
Like really went in and tried to write a country song. I still think like my influences and like kind of the character of the music prior to it would be very visible, you know, or audible, I guess.
For sure.
With me even doing a country song, you know.
Yeah. So I kind of want to go back and talk about like your band. We spoke about them like earlier, but how did you guys meet and like what's it like working together and just like collaborating and playing together?
Well, I've had a couple different outfits like backing me up with the live scenario over the years, and this has been probably the most talented group that I've had. The best working group, I think.
Because I mean, it's not just the music. You have to mesh all of those personalities and all those different visions coming together.
Yeah, and it's not like, you know, playing a local show, playing a live gig, you know, every couple of months, you don't really have to come in contact with one another, you know, that frequently. But, like, I work with John, who is my drummer, like, you know, at this music shop. I live with Austin, who plays guitar with me. And, like, going out and doing the tours and stuff and spending that time together, which, you know, you're stuck to each other like glue.
Yeah.
Like, that's when you really get to see if, like, a relationship is going to work.
Definitely. And
if it reflects on stage, like, you know.
Yeah.
Most importantly, does it reflect on stage, you know. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's got to work behind the scenes, too, in order to get to that point.
And that definitely shows, too. Like, I know I've been at shows, and you watch the band, and you can like, you can tell that they're not having
tension,
fun.
There's just tension. Like, almost like they're forced to like, play
and
together.
It's super awkward as somebody in the audience watching, being like, oh, shit, like, something's going on there. Like, that's not it. And that's a huge part of being successful, is having
just
that.
Just making sure every aspect works.
And yeah.
Just,
like, chemistry.
Chemistry. Yes.
That is the word. Yes. Absolutely. And so, since you are so young, which is really, really cool, I mean, of course, I'm sure you get this a lot, having people asking you about how to kind of, quote unquote, like, break into the industry and how to start doing that networking and that marketing for yourself. So for people who are interested in doing that, what kind of advice would you give them? What's been something that you, what is something that you wish you had known trying to do what you're doing now?
I guess if I went back and, like, told 16-year-old me, like, when I was first starting this, like, I would have told myself to just basically, I mean, as corny as it sounds, but, like, be yourself and just, like, you know, realize that your idols in many ways can be false idols and just, like, yourself, and you know, people will understand that and people will admire that and find that much more appealing than somebody who's like trying to be something they can't be. And I don't know, I just like, I liked a bunch of artists and I was just like, I want to make records like them, I want to like, and in the beginning it was like that was kind of the point, I wanted to make records that sounded like people that I loved. And you know, I didn't think anything was really going to come of it, but then all of a sudden it's like people are taking it way more seriously than I was taking it initially, which it makes it very interesting.
Is imposter syndrome like very real? Is that happening?
Potentially. I don't know, this is like, you know, little me, like, you know, still in high school, like I hadn't left Oxford, Michigan ever, you know, like I was living, you know, at my parents' house and, you know, just going to school, and I'd never seen the world and never even attempted to try to understand things outside that realm.
Right.
You know, I just wanted to play guitar and I wanted to record stuff, and that was the extent of it. But now it's like, you know, it's much different for me, I feel, just in that sense.
Sure. Tell me about recording. Like, what is your recording setup? What instruments do you typically use when you're recording? What's that process like for you?
It really, it depends. And it's like a growing thing for me because like I never went to school for recording or engineering or anything like that. So I was just like, you know, when I was 16 and starting
teaching yourself and stuff.
Yeah. I was like using Audacity and I was,
we got some people outside the windows peeking in.
So like I was using like Audacity and, like, you know, a free recording software, and I was just plugging a cable into the computer. I wasn't thinking about, like, you know, mics and, like, phasing and, like, the drum sound and stuff like that. I just wanted it to either sound one way, you know, or another way. Like, I didn't have any control. And it's, like, very much what has been fun for me and, like, continued to make it fun is, like, learning how to record and learning how to, like, produce. And I think being a producer in that term has been so lost in translation. Like, people now, they think like producer, like, oh, you make beats, right? Like, you're like you know about 808s or something like that. And it's just like, for me, I look at like Kevin Parker from like Tame Impala. He's right. a producer. Mm-hmm. And I think he just like knows how to make sounds happen,
mm-hmm.
you yeah. know? And it's been just like such a learning experience for me trying to get the sounds that I want and, you know, doing it with minimal gear. And I guess like going back to the initial question, like when I record, it kind of depends on the song for what I start with. You know, I usually write with an acoustic guitar or a piano or you know, because I think if you can strip a song back to the acoustic guitar and you can play it solo like that, you probably have a decent song.
Like, are you the kind yeah. of person who like wakes up in the morning and you immediately have the concept of the song in your brain, or is it a working process for you? Because I know that some producers say like they're sleeping and they wake up and they just like have a song.
Yeah, that can happen, and it's happened to me, but it hasn't been like, you know, like Paul McCartney woke up out of bed and he wrote Yesterday. Like,
yeah,
it was he heard it in his dream. Like I'm a novice. Like I'm not very good at music theory or, you know, playing the guitar. I have like was basically fixated on like, you know, trying to be decent at all of the instruments I could get my hands on.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm not a virtuoso at guitar. Like I mean, I can't shred like that.
Right.
And I can't think like that most of the time. But
how many instruments can you play?
A handful. I don't know. Yeah.
Such as?
Guitar, bass. I played upright bass in orchestra in high school.
Nice.
I still have one at my parents' house. A little bit of piano. A little bit of ukulele.
Oh.
I don't know. There's a couple others. Yeah. I mean, if you know like what the strings are, like
mm-hmm.
you can usually like figure out like a couple notes and
yeah.
be like, oh, this is a song. I know
right.
how to play this instrument now.
Yeah. yeah.
God, I wish I could play an instrument.
I played the flute for 4 years. Not to flex on you guys.
4 years?
4 years.
High school?
Oh, no. Okay. Middle school, baby.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
But I could play Greensleeves without looking at the sheet music, so
whoa.
I was a big deal.
My ass just played the recorder in elementary school.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Old McDonald had a farm, like, every day.
Girl.
My mom, like, when I would practice at home, she was just like, cut it out!
Yeah.
I thought it was so good.
Yeah, I did that in fourth grade, but when I was younger, I thought the flute was the coolest instrument in the world. I don't know why. And I begged my parents to let me play the flute, and so they ended up getting me private lessons. I never even played for, like, the school band. I just did it on my own in lessons. And then one day I woke up and I was like, why the hell am I playing the flute for no reason? And I just stopped and I've never touched it.
I always wanted to learn how to play like the violin and then the piano. A lot of people think I already do because of like the fingers. So
she
like
got long fingers, y'all.
Like, you got those
piano hands. Yeah.
I'm like, no. I'm not musically talented at all whatsoever.
When I was younger, my mom always wanted me to be a drummer. I remember her being like, Delaney, you would be the most badass female drummer. Like, you have to be a drummer. You have to be a drummer. And just because, you know, she came up with the idea, I never did it. But, I mean, on our last episode, Olivia and I were talking about how, for both of us, it was like we're super interested in entertainment and the industry and things like that. So it was always the conversation of how are we going to get into the industry without having the musical talents. So being able to sit down with
people. We'll talk to people who do have
exactly.
the talent. So.
So it's nice for us to kind of learn the backside of things. But let's talk not about music. How about that? Let's talk not about your career for a second. Tell us about just you. Like, what do you do when you're not playing music and when you're not working at the shop and you're not in classes?
What do you like to do for fun?
Classic question.
I like karaoke a lot.
Okay.
Which is music.
Yep. There's a theme
it's,
here.
It's different, though.
It's
a very different
What's
art
your go-to
form.
Karaoke song?
Oh, it changes. Take It Easy is a... I can give you, like, my top four.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Take It Easy by the Eagles. You're So Vain, Carly Simon.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really sing that song, but I love it.
Good.
I love it so much.
I can't really sing any song, but I love them anyways. So,
What else? Alice Cooper, Be My Lover.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
And
that is a great record.
sometimes me and Austin, we will duet on a CCR song called Looking Out My Back Door.
Wow. Yeah. Just bro stuff. Looking into each other's eyes. Singing that. Amazing. What's your star sign?
Taurus.
Are you like a total Taurus?
I don't really know what it means to be a total Taurus.
Wow. Okay. We're, it's Cancer season right now. Everybody who's listening, just so you know. Yep. I'm also a Cancer. It's really exciting.
I'm a Leo. Which people find hard to believe sometimes because they're supposed to be like center of attention and just like bitches.
Wow. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, awkward.
No. I'm a total Cancer. I can't lie. I was never into it until recently. My roommate's like really into it. And she would just send me all these like Cancer memes. And it's all about like, you want your friends to tell you all of their problems, but you never tell anybody yours. And also, you love babies. And I was like, yeah, that's me to a T.
In a nutshell.
In a nutshell. What is your favorite breakfast food? This is a really important question.
Ooh, I feel like I don't even know my favorite breakfast food.
I'll tell you mine once.
Oh, wait, yes, I do. Yes, I do. You're asking me?
Yeah.
Phoning a friend.
I don't know. You always get like eggs in the morning, but then you eat Fruity Pebbles at night.
Oh my gosh.
Eggs in the morning and Fruity Pebbles at night, if anybody didn't hear that.
I am a breakfast burrito fan, too.
Oh, hell yeah. Are you like you put hot sauce in there, or what are you, what are you into? Yeah.
Why not?
Favorite hot sauce? What's your favorite hot sauce? Go to. Open the fridge. First thing you grab.
I don't know. Whatever is just at hand.
I guess. A little bitch when it comes to spice. I'm just like, no hot sauce, please.
Well, my favorite breakfast food is like chopped potatoes fried with broccoli, peppers, onions, buckets of sriracha and ketchup. That's it.
Buckets.
I'm a sauce girl.
You really are.
I could just eat
your fridge
sauce,
is just
no
full
food.
Of like sauces.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of sriracha.
Okay.
Like, I like it.
All right, guys,
I will say it's good.
Thanks so much, Ian, for being here. We're done.
They have, like, the sriracha packets that you can, like, put on your keychains
I now. Need it. You don't understand. Like,
that's crazy.
I could just drink sriracha. I love it.
Oh, it's the best. I never got into it. I'm just, like, very mild. Like, and, like, I'm Mexican, too. So, like, I'm supposed to, like, take that shit. Yeah. And I'm just, like,
we'll work on it.
Yeah.
Also, Valentina. So good. Just, like, heat up some tortillas. Put some Valentina on there.
Yeah.
Anything else you want the people to know about you not musically?
I love baseball.
Who's your favorite team?
The Tigers, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite player of all time?
Oh, favorite player of all time, Mark Fidrich.
And why?
Because he's the bird. He's the only... You might have to fact check this, but he's the only athlete to ever be on the cover of Rolling Stone.
Wow.
He pitched for the Tigers. He had the miracle year in 1976. He was a rookie.
Huh.
It's
the underdog.
Yeah, it's a great, great story.
Do you go to a lot of baseball games? Or try to, like, when you can?
I went to opening day, which was not that good.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's, like, just too crazy for me. And I just like to go. I like, you know, like, going with my dad. Like, we get a couple of hot dogs. We get some beers. And we're just, like, having a chill, good time.
Right. Yeah.
And that is just, like, everybody's partying. And it's, like, so hectic. And I just...
It really does,
like,
get crazy down there. Every time I've gone to a Tigers game, it's, like, been the worst experience ever. Like, people are just acting like fools.
For anybody
like,
who
so
doesn't
hot.
Live in the city, opening day is hell on earth for people who live in the city.
People come down to the Eastern Market because that's where they're, like, tailgate and stuff. And it's just... crazy.
It's like everybody's everywhere. They don't know where they're going. Crazy. They're just standing in the middle of the street taking their Instagrams.
Yeah. It made me sick. It honestly made me sick. I went there kind of like in like a Hunter S. Thompson kind of like, oh, I'm gonna go here and just like watch what's going on.
People
watch these Neanderthals.
Yeah, my favorite hobby.
Which isn't always the case when I go to a Tigers game. I usually am going there with a positive attitude and I know it's gonna be, you know, a party atmosphere, but it's going to be, you know, digestible. It's going to be okay. Right. That I just was like in a panic. I was like very scared.
That's like the fireworks just happened, and it's the same kind of thing. Anytime you have a big event going on in the city, it's like you just should pull a chair up on Woodward, sit down, and watch it happen.
Literally.
And I would like to add, it was scary because of the young people that were there, that were, you know, coming from state, and like, you know, it was just...
My favorite people.
You know, like, I pulled up to one of the parties outside, like, the tented parties, and, like, just bottles of liquor that they couldn't bring in. They just would drop them there.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this they're getting nuts over here. Like,
that's crazy.
I could not handle that.
Yeah, I can't either. No. I'm a grandma. Everybody calls me grandma.
Oh, me too. Yeah. Literally. I'm like in bed by like 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. With my glass of wine and like what a queer eye.
My cat is on me and it's perfect.
Yeah.
That's the way I like to be.
It's okay. I'm proud of being a grandma.
Oh, yeah. All right, Ian. So we're just going to give you a second here to plug anything that you have coming up as far as music does go.
Or where people can go to like find out more
about Spotify. You. My music's on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out there. The band is called Hala, H-A-L-A. By the time this is out, I will have played a show with my band that I'm in with my buddies called TY on the 5th of July. But yeah, I'm sure it was a great show. I'm just like, I'm giving a review now. It was really great.
It was the best show ever.
It was fast. It was loud. It was energetic. The ghost light just shook. And with the sounds.
Can people expect more music from Hala coming?
Yes. I'm working on stuff. Hopefully there's some news that hopefully I'll be able to spill in the next coming weeks. So.
Amazing. Awesome. All right.
That's so exciting.
Well, really quickly, we're going to listen to two songs that you're going to perform, and then we'll be right back.
Cool.
My name is Ian Rahala. This song is called She. Is called What Is Love? Tell Me, Is It Easy?
She
the time. I wish it was easy to find a lover who's easy. What is love? Now tell me, is it tell me, is it easy for love? She takes care in bottles of all the feelings we share. It isn't fair, no, no, for her to say, what is love? Now tell me, is it easy to love? Tell me, is it easy for love? Tell me.
Right, Ian, that was so awesome.
Thank you
so much for playing those songs. Thank you so much for being here and talking to us to the people. You're awesome.
It's been my pleasure.
Awesome. Cool. All right, well, guys, we also want to give a special thanks to DTM Filmworks for presenting the podcast, and thank you to the Detroit Foundation Hotel for letting us use their amazing studio. Again, you guys, you can see pictures of that all over our social media and on the website, industryimpact.com. Thank you, Jacob, for being here today. He is our special audio tech. Mm-hmm. He's really, really great.
And last but not least, even though we said it already, we want to thank our guest, Ian, for joining us today. Be sure to follow him on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that jazz, at the band Hala. You can also listen to his music on Apple Music, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Ian, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
All right, guys, this has been another episode of Industry Unpacked. I'm Delaney.
And I'm Olivia. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Stop to find your fortune hidden in the bay. You just don't know what you're getting yourself in. And I'm so mad.